to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one and give everyone a very warm welcome in their service. In the name of the Lord, I'm just thinking there of the night. Mark brought the Australian weather with him and is staying. Now he's going home on Sunday morning early, so be prepared for rain. I thought it was going to rain the day. It was trying hard, and apparently it's given rain. And I'm sure the farmers will be wanting rain, but it's nice to have a bit of sunshine, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So our brother Mark goes back Sunday, and take our greetings back, brother, to brother Brian and all the fellowship and your mum and dad and everyone in Australia. And God's good, isn't it? Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, and just probably everyone knows it's on the church thing, but Sister Andrea is home and everything. Everything's going well, and they're very happy with everything. And she really appreciates everyone's prayers. And she thanks everyone that's been praying and keeping her in prayer. Praise God. And also, Auntie Eiling thanks everyone for the prayers. Just keep praying for Auntie Eiling. And keep praying for Andre. Lord, give her strength and just bring her to complete and full recovery in His name. Amen. Let's stand this evening while we turn to the first epistle of John. Chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10 of John. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we have made Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's bow our heads tonight, praise God. And if you have a need, just lift your hand before the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight. Not in our name, for Lord, our name would be no good, but we bow in your name. The name that's far above every other name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we reverence your name. We appreciate you, Lord. Lord, we think of that song, Down From His Glory. Ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. What a message, what a Savior. Lord, we just thank you for it all again tonight. We appreciate you, Lord Jesus. Wash us and cleanse us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God tonight. Lord, fill us everyone afresh with the Holy Spirit. Many peoples come through different trials, different emotions, different things. But we cast down all reasoning, every vain imagination. Lord, maybe some's come with preconceived ideas. But I pray you'll rid us of all our own thinking. And let the mind of Christ be in every one of us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the hands raised. Father, that you will meet every single need, whatever it may be, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, just have your way. Lord, we pray for Simon Peter and Sandra, Lord, as well. And you'll bless them, Lord, in the honeymoon and just be with them in Jesus' precious name. And continue to spend praying. Touch my Auntie Eiling from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We come against the spirit of infirmity and fear, and we curse it and we rebuke it in Jesus Christ's name. We pray for your touch upon her life. Touch my sister Andrea. Thank you. I have. We pray you continue to bless her and heal her. And raise her up in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Also, if you turn to chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2, it says this. My little children. Now, when you read that, God's not talking to the unsaved. Because the unsaved are not God's children. They're the children of the devil. You mightn't agree with that, but that'll not make no difference to the word of God, whether you agree with it or not. All unsaved are the children of the devil. And Ephesians says, all of us once walked according to this course, and were led by the prince of power of the earth, until we got saved. we were children of the devil. And he says, my little children, so he's talking to believers. These signs I write unto you, that ye sin not. So he's telling us not to sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So if the believer sins, there's an advocate for the believer, and there's also for the world as well. So the Lord can forgive the believer's sins. Now I know there's believers in the world tonight, and they never sin. A wonderful group of people. They've never committed any sins from the get saved. They've never sinned. And I'm not going to go into all the different things. They class themselves what they are. And many of them, when they preach, they say that there's a foolish virgin and there's a bride. And I'm not here to preach to the foolish virgin. I'm only here to preach to the bride. Now, I'll tell you what. If Jesus Christ himself was on this earth in flesh, I don't believe he'd ever make a statement like that. Because if that foolish virgin ends up saved, they're saved because of what Jesus done on the cross. They're not saved because of anything they've done. They're saved because of what Jesus done on the cross. And those that go in the catching up the bride, they're also saved because of what Jesus Christ done on the cross. And I'll tell you one thing. Maybe some people might never come to the levels of other people. That is true. But I'll tell you one thing. I've children my own self. And if they get saved, I'll be happy. I'd rather see them saved and not saved. And if they could just get saved, wouldn't it give you great peace to know they're saved? They're saved. And once they're saved, they're always saved. And they'll never be lost. But those of us that are saved, sometimes we will make mistakes and we'll fall short and we'll sin, believe it or not. And I know sin's unbelief, but many times Christians do things they shouldn't do. It's sin. There's no other way you can go around it. But with an advocate. And the word advocate means a lawyer. One who pleads our cause or our case when the believer is tempted by the enemy, and the enemy sometimes tries to gain mastery over, the believer can claim the promise of John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we get saved, we had our sins forgiven under the blood. But as we serve the Lord as believers, from the day we're saved till we go, whether it's the catching up or we don't get it and we go to the grave before it happens, we're going to need the Lord. Now I was thinking of a statement, and some of you will know it and some of you won't know it. But if anybody's listening into this, I was thinking of the falsities, the bleeding word. There's a group of people and they go about preaching about the bleeding word. The word's bleeding. They've bypassed the cross. It's now the bleeding word. Now, if that's referred to as John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, I'll agree with it. But if it's not, it's false. Because I'll tell you why. I believe the Lord spoke to me about this. There has to be a body for blood to be shed. Are you hearing me? If there's no body, there's no blood shed. And God had to make himself a tabernacle. Amen. And he came to that tabernacle. Yes. Because he wanted to save us. Amen. And the only way for God to save us was to condescend. Amen. And he lowered himself a little lower than the angels, and he took upon him the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and he shed his precious blood. Amen. And that's the only blood. There's no other blood. No other blood. And there's no such thing as someone else bleeding to save you. That's Antichrist. Amen. That's the Church of Rome's no worse than that. Amen. They're coming under different titles, but they're both false. Amen. The one's as false as the other. Now, what comes out of that is another gospel. And what comes out of it is people are saying today, you have to believe it this way to be saved. If the apostles didn't preach it that way, why should we preach it? Especially if we believe we're restored back to what they preached. If we're restored back to what they preached, we need to preach what they preached. And I can tell you they preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what they preached. And they preached that we have an advocate. If we fall short, we have an advocate. I want to tell you, he's not wearing a collar. He's not the black suit sitting in a box. Our advocate, you see the bleeding word, the other part of the doctrine that goes with it is he's left the mercy seat. That's the other part of the doctrine. I'm not going to go into it all tonight, but I'm telling you it's false. I believe Jesus Christ is on the mercy seat tonight, physically. And I believe His blood reached the whole way to heaven because the book of Hebrews says that the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so the heavenly with a better sacrifice, the heavenly tabernacle. And Jesus Christ is our high priest tonight. And this is a superior priesthood He has, for it's after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Who had no father, no mother, no beginning, no ending. There's nobody else like him. The Apostle Paul went on to say, my little children, John is writing here to the believers in Christ, a person that's born again, that's actually a child of God, a believer. Look at 1 John 3, verse 10. And this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the world, the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So I'll tell you, we want to love each other, don't we? And people that can't, people say, if other people are Christians, whether they see the same as us or not, we need to love them. Do you believe that's the word of God? I believe it. So even if they don't see eye to eye on all the things, if they're really saved and born again, we need to love them. And they need to love us. And if we don't love them and they don't love us, the devil's going to end. That's who the Bible says is going in. But you see, there's a lot of separated brethren today. That's what the devil wants. And I don't mean the gospel hall brethren. I mean brethren, universally. Separated. That's the devil. That's what he wants. I'll tell you something. There's nowhere in all of your Bible. And I challenge anybody. You come and see me. Anybody hears this message tonight, you come and you show me it. Wherever Paul or any of them apostles got up and said, now, I'll tell you what, there's a group over here that's one sort of a group, and a group over here that's another. Now, I'm not going to bore preach with you fellas. That's absolute rubbish. I want to tell you that they went out for the lost. I want to tell you that they went up to the gate called Beautiful, and a man that was lame, they prayed for him, and God healed him, and he leapt in. I want to tell you, when Jesus was on earth, he says, I must needs go through Samaria. There was a woman down there that none of the religious Pharisees would touch with a barge pole. But the Lord went specially that way to get her. For he came to save no one but sinners. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people and they're on the religious horse. And they think there's some sort of a halo floating over them. But every one of us was born sinners. Paul the Apostle said, as sinners, whom was the chief? Held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. And he knew what it was to have the grace of God. Our message is to the lost. And if you think our message is not to the lost, then we are wasting our time. It has to be to the lost. Jesus Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go ye, he said. As my Father sent me, so send I you. It's good that we gather as believers. That's good. We're to gather often. But our message is to the lost. Ephesians 2 and 2 said, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that work means energizes. It's the devil that energizes the unsaved and the unconverted. And we need to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to come on them. That God in his mercy would open their understanding to bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. The scripture in John is to God's little children. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This is not a license for believers to commit sin either. You see, the old Church of Rome worked on that. It's called indulgences. Indulgences. Luther, that's what really struck Luther off. He blew up on that one. Now, I mean, he blew up in a good way. He had righteous indignation over that. Because one of his parishioners, you see, had got indulgences, and he could do whatever he wanted. He could take the night away from the wife. And I don't need to mention it, but you know what I'm talking about. He could do whatever he wanted, but Luther wasn't happy with it. God wasn't. Luther nailed the 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg. Luther preached the gospel to them. And I tell you, this business, we don't need Luther's message, we don't need Wesley's message. I'll tell you something, that's absolute rubbish. That's like saying we don't need Peter and Paul's message. You know, some even have the brass neck to say we don't need Paul's message. Yet withal, when God sends the messenger in the spirit of Elijah, he says he's turning us back to Paul's message, and he's saying, I preached what Paul preached. Now there can't be a contradiction or something's wrong. The Holy Spirit will not contradict himself. Man will. They'll give it that. All of us is liable to mistakes. We're only human. But God doesn't make them. The Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. It's like when William Branham told a woman on where she's from and somebody said, there you are, there's a mistake. And they got together afterward and she'd just moved house a few days before it. He'd give the right address. Now I'm not saying man can make mistakes, but the Holy Ghost doesn't. John is simply showing the provision for forgiveness for the child of God. That's what he's doing. Now we know the Spirit of God helps us so we don't sin. We need God's help every day. I believe that. You believe that. John 1 verse 1. My little children, these things write on you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. When we're born again, we don't want to sin. We don't willfully sin. But often, many of us are tempted. And we could make mistakes. We could maybe say things from this mouth that we shouldn't say. I know maybe most of us have never had any trouble with any of that. But the Bible says the tongue's a very small member. But it steers a very big ship. That's what the Bible's saying. It says the tongue's small, but it steers the big ship. The wee thing at the back of the ship steers it. It's small. That's how the Bible describes the tongue. And that's why the Bible says we're to think before we speak. Because I'm telling you, we can say things and it can hurt people. And it's all right to say, oh, you'll get over it. But everybody doesn't get over it the same. You know, I was thinking the night, you know, a man called Clifford wrote that song Down From His Glory. And when that man Clifford wrote that song Down From His Glory, he was in a cornfield. And I'm telling you, he was in bad shape. He was going through a real battle. And he wrote that glory, Down From His Glory. And I tell you, the Lord come down from His glory. And when we are getting it tight, we need to think of the Lord coming from His glory. David, the mighty man of God, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. David did. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Isn't that right? Galatians 6 and verse 1 says this, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, let then the spiritual put him out. You don't read that. You read, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself lest thou also be tempted. God's warning. I tell you, there was a great man, and I'm going to mention no names in America. I'm just bringing this as an example. This man was mightily used to God. A matter of fact, as far as evangelism goes, there wasn't many people more used than this man. So used, he became a head of a mighty movement. And he was mightily used to God. But you see, while God was using him, he got to be. If any other person that was a wee bit lower in the ranks, if you want to put it like that, if there's any wee things they'd done, maybe, you know, he would have blew them out. And he would have blew them out in public. And he began condemning them and putting them down. Well, there's a man of God in the land. And God started speaking to him about it. And he wrote this man a letter. He wrote this man a letter because this man's own self was doing worse than the people he condemned. A lot worse. But he had got that high up. He thought nobody'd seen it. He was getting away with it. But God seen it. And God had a man. The man was David Wilkerson that God spoke to. And God told David Wilkerson to write this particular man a letter. And David Wilkerson wrote him a letter warning him what to do. And to tell him, close everything down immediately. And secretary and all wrote it out. And he never sent it. He prayed to God one more time. And he said, Lord, you're going to have to talk to me one more time. Or I don't want to send it. And there's another young man, a young minister, which was on fire for God, that had been influenced with the ministry of David Wilkerson. And he went to service this particular night, and he couldn't preach in the meeting. Nobody could minister. The Spirit of God fell, and they went into intercessory prayer. And they all were thinking of a certain man, and they were praying for him. And he was troubled, and he came home, and his wife said, why did you ring David and tell him? And he didn't want to do it. And eventually, he had to get up out of bed. It was late at night, and he rang him. And when he rang David Wilkerson cried. And he said, brother, I hope I haven't offended you. Says, no, you haven't. And he told him, he says, I had prayed. If I was to send that letter, somebody would ring me tonight. And you've rung, and he sent a letter. And see, when the boy got it, he rejected everything. And he blasted David Wilkerson. But within a month, he made the television headlines. And the world seen what he'd done. The world seen it. But the world wasn't meant to see it. It was meant to be restore such an one, but he refused it. And the Bible talks about that. That bring the elders and talk to them, and if they refuse that, rebuke them openly. But let him that standeth take heed lest he falls. Every one of us need the Lord. Every one of us need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's prayers. Burning, if any man be overtaken of fault, let them the spirit to restore such an one, and the spirit of meekness consider thyself. Remember years ago, this young man, he went to a certain place, and this other young fellow says, I'll tell you what, I would never do a thing like that. Did you ever see the like of it? And I stopped them. And I said to him, just a minute. I said, if God lifted his hand of you for a moment, you could do anything. Far worse. Well, that other man's doing's not really that bad, really. You could do far worse. And I want to tell you, do you see that man that said he'd never do it? He'd done 100 times worse, and he's still doing it. We need to pray for each other. Amen? It's easy to ridicule somebody, but I'll tell you what. For to get alone and to pray for your brother and pray for your sister, that's the ministry of Jesus. That's what we're to do. Pray for each other. If a brother has a problem, pray for him. Or a sister, pray for them. If you don't think the pastor's preaching the way you want him preaching, pray for him. That's what you need to do. Pray. And I'll tell you, prayer changes things. And we have an advocate. We have an advocate. We can pray. James 5:14-15 says, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save him, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven. I love this verse. Do you know why I love this verse? Because a lot of people say, that person's sick because of sin. Well, if they are, this verse cures that. Is that the truth? It's absolutely the Bible. We can't change it. If they have, and I'm not saying, I don't believe that many times Job hadn't committed sin. But God let it happen. Now, you know God let it happen. And sometimes things happen. And you know, look at the man in the Bible who was blind. And they said that this man sinned his parents. And Jesus says, neither of them, but the works of God might be made manifest in him. It's not always sin. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the devil will whisper in your ear, oh, they're not living right. That's what's happening. But do you ever think somebody could be in a battle that is living right? They are living right. But they could be struggling, they could be in a battle. All hell's against the real church. Jesus told us that. The gates of hell be against you, but they can't prevail. Because of the Lord Jesus. Let me read you this wee quotation. Where does life? Life lays in the blood. Blood is the life. And that's the only man that could bleed the right kind of a blood because he was God's own blood. And he bled the blood that redeemed you and I. And so our salvation lays in Christ Jesus. What he did for us at Calvary, no matter how low we get, how immoral we get, how polluted we get, when we look at Calvary with a true heart and confess our sins, there on Calvary, that settles it. That's right. No more than your confession can go from your lips till God is under obligation to answer you. Now, I'm not going to belong tonight. I'm not finished, but I'm not going to belong. I'm not going to keep you long. And I'm going to tell you this. Now, I know you know it. I'm going to tell you it again. It blessed me when John, our brother John, told the testimony about the wee girl in the hotel. And you know, we can get so high and mighty when we see people dressed wrong and living immoral and different things that we think we're better than them. We should be witnessing to them. There's not one of us was one tad better than them. I'll tell you that right now. The fact that somebody thinks so proves something's wrong. That's what I believe. William Branham, he built a complex. You know the way he used to talk about women, God rebuked him. Did you know that? God rebuked him. He was too tough on it. And God rebuked him and said, you're hurting people the way you're going at it sometimes. And you look at that wee woman in the restaurant and she was dressed immorally and there he was condemning her. This is his own testimony. And he said that angel come near him. And he took his hat off and he got down on his knees. And the Lord spoke to him. And he showed him that that wee woman was a backslider. And he began to talk to her. And she came back to the Lord. That's the grace of God. And I tell you, it's true. The old saying's true. You can never judge a book by its cover. Somebody can look rough and away from God. But yet you could talk to that person. And big and tough, but you could talk to them. Now I'm closing. We're going to pray. But, you know, Brother Rodney was telling me, Rodney Adamson, he sat down on the wall at Port Rush this year. And the bus, wall of scriptures on it was just across. And there was a fella sitting, eating chips, or had something to eat. And he just turns round to Rodney and he says, do you see that bus? He says, a year ago I mocked that bus and I made fun of it. And Rodney says, did you? Now, he didn't know Rodney was part of it with that bus. But he says, I've got saved. Those fellas in that bus talked to me and he used foul language and everything to them. But from that meeting to the next year, he got saved. And he went over to the bus and went in it, shared his testimony. He got saved. I'll tell you tonight, I'm going to be honest with you in this meeting. The most important thing is people getting saved. This idea of being in the elite group, and you have to know this, and you have to know this, and you know this, and know that. You know what William Branham said? He said, if your fires ever get lit, go and tell how it got lit. And if you really get saved, you have a joy of the Lord. Amen. You should be fit to tell others about it. And we need to go out, every single one of us in this fellowship, need to individually seek to see people saved. And I tell you, we need a fresh hunger on us. Every one of us, I'm included. I've been talking to the Lord about this. I'm not happy. I'll tell you right now, I'm not happy. I want to see people saved. I've heard all the different revelations and all, but I want to see people saved. That's my heart's desire. That's what I want to see. I don't know how long I've left. I'll soon be 60. And I want to see people saved. Saved. We need to be witnessing to others. And we need to be living a life where they can look at us and say, did you ever hear the like that? And he's meant to be a Christian. That's not a testimony. They need to be able to look at us and say, that fella, that girl's got something. She's got something I want. Let's come and pray tonight. Seek the Lord tonight and pray for Brother John's going to be preaching on Sunday morning. Samuel's going to be preaching again Sunday night. Now, I was happy with Larry shared, but Larry had a 5-minute testimony, but it became a bit longer than 5 minutes, so Samuel didn't really get any chance to preach. But he's preaching again Sunday night. But the Lord bless Larry. That's why I didn't say anything. I enjoyed it. Samuel can preach Sunday night. There's no problem. So everything's good, isn't it? Praise God. Let's come and let's seek the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we just acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you'll direct our paths. Lord, we're praying tonight for loved ones, for families, for the husband, for the wife, for the son, for the daughter, that the Holy Spirit will really work on them and move on them, and that they'll get saved and come to know you, Lord, whom to know's life eternal. And us as Christians will get so filled with the Spirit of God, with excitement to see people saved. Lord, it will go out beyond our boundaries, what we would normally limit ourselves to. God, take us beyond our boundaries, what we normally have. Give us a boldness like they had in the Bible, that we would witness Jesus Christ to the unsaved, Lord Jesus. Oh God, give every one of us a fresh joy of your salvation in our hearts and in our lives. Help us, Lord, to live a life worthy of the gospel. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our failures and our unbelief. Help us, Lord, to put you at the forefront and to live a life for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for maybe a brother or sister tonight that hasn't maybe told nobody, but they're struggling. Lord, and they're finding it tough. I pray you'll bless them. I pray you'll strengthen them. I pray that the word of God tonight will take a hold of them and raise them under their feet and help them to look to Jesus Christ, their advocate afresh. Wash us and cleanse us afresh with thy precious blood. Lord, your blood's precious tonight. We thank you, Lord, it cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. And Lord, if we fall short, Lord, we believe the blood lays there for us. It circles the earth. We thank you for it tonight. Father, bless your people. Pray for Brother John for that Sunday of thy story. Grant him your wisdom and your guidance and bless him. And for Samuel, grant your wisdom and guidance and bless them, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have a reverence, Lord, as well in these meetings. Lord, that we'll come into the spirit of fear and reverence for this place, for this house, because we want you to be here, Lord. That we might not be familiar with each other, but we'll reverence your name. Lord, that we'll come in prayerfully and reading our Bibles, waiting on the Lord and waiting for the service. Father, help every one of us. Help us, Lord Jesus, when we leave, that we'll talk about what we heard preached, that we'll not be caught up with some nonsense or foolish things or jests or tokens, but Lord, that we'll be caught up with the word of God, that we'll meditate upon whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, that we'll thank in them things, O God. Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight, for your word's truth. Thank you that you shed your blood once and for all at a place called Calvary. We praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one tonight as we continue in prayer.